We're on page Resh Pei Gimel. We're up to Kriyas Yamsuf, even though it's Parashas Lech Lecha. Yamsuf Bakata. We're dedicating tonight's learning in memory of Freida Esther Bas Rabbi Yehuda Leib Strahl. And the yard site is the ninth day of Cheshvan, which I guess is tomorrow night, going into Thursday. What? I'm reading from this. It's okay. V'yamsuf pakatu, up to Kriyas Yamsuf. So let's see. I mentioned here what's in the past, why Kriyas Yamsuf is mentioned here, but let's see how he explains it. V'yamsuf pakatu shem lo yahayam nikra ha'isem ispatelas hashpa v'atachlo shel yitzias Mitzrayim. Had there been no Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim would have been bottled. Look, it was many Yitzia, Ha'isa Hasnogas Mitzrayim Etuvelas Binimusim. The behavior of the Egyptians was already, the Egyptians had mixed feelings. Hil Nisrato Akushi Hashibin Shemikaidim. Shebemakim Shemikaidim Yakutsu B'nei B'nei Yisrael, Kes Masu B'nei Yisrael Chaim B'nei. The Egyptians themselves had the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. The story of Yitzias Mitzrayim ended when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim would have been seen accurately as stepping back from their attitude towards the Yidden. In the beginning, their attitude was V'yakutzum ibnei b'nei Yisrael. And by Kriyas Yamsuf, it says that they found chen b'neihem, and they loaned them different items. And Pari sent people along with them, which at least according to one shot was real malavim. He behaved with derech eretz to them. The guys aren't so bad, they're smiling at us. It's incredible, when they left Mitzrayim, they respected Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval, im hayinisha roishim halaz, hayim misarev begulas Mitzrayim, kshvash shvach leparu la'avadav. Had we been left with that taste, the Yitzias Mitzrayim would include something praiseworthy regarding Parai. Bemes haysa kavana b'tzias Mitzrayim, sheyakiru v'yedu shanihu v'lo yacher. V'yisagula ach v'rak yedeh kadosh baruch hu b'kvaydeh ba'atzmai. There was a need that there be an understanding that Klal Yisrael can rely only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on any political official. L'chein hoya ha'kora hechrach levatel hargosh hazu. Yes, nupshad, and why there had to be a Kriyas Yamsuf. Because there had to be a bittle of the hergish that at the end of the day, at least Pari learned his lesson a little bit, and he was nice to the Jewish people. And therefore, siveva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shachar kami yom mischartu ha'mitzrim, after a while, their hatred to the Jewish people returned. And they forgot all of the makos. They regretted, they retracted their regretting of their making Klal Yisrael work. I mentioned to you in numerous times that the word shlach, when it has a dogesh in the lamid, is binyan kaved. It's a binyan that, a one-way trip. When the Torah says to send, and there's a dogesh in the lamid, that's to send on a one-way trip. When you send somebody, he's going to come back. Like when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the meraglim in Parsha Shlach, shlach has no dogesh in the lamid, it's binyan kal. Because it's a two-way trip. He sent the Meraglim to spy on the earth, on the land, and come back. When Shane came, when it's a one-way trip, then there's a dogesh in the lamed. Vayhi b'shalach Pari es Mitzrayim, there's a dogesh in the lamed. What? Vayhi b'shalach Pari es ha'am. Is there a dogesh in the lamed about your Sefer Torah too? Huh? Actually, Sefer Torah never has a dogesh. Dog's like the kudos. It's, he's checking me up. Oh boy. Okay. Let me go. Okay. Here you go. To get you a Washington Heights Chumash, but one thing, the Chumash is the same by all communities. Said the changes. So, Vibishal Pari, it was a one-way trip. When Pari initially sent them, he knew they were coming back after 3 days. The dot in the Lamed?
I don't
know. Here is Vibishal Pari. Do you know that I think every parsha in the Chumash has at least the word Shalach at least once? Every parsha, I've noticed when I'm at Sedra, because I know this rule, I've noticed that every parsha has it at least once. And the rule always works. There's one place where somebody had kind of had a question, but there was an answer. And I was at Sedra last night. I noticed it in this week's parsha too. I don't remember where, probably when they sent them. Oh, I remember when they sent... But after Parai fools around with Sarah, Beitzavel of Parai Anoshim, Beishalchu Oisei Vesishtei Viskalashalai, there's a dot in the line, but he said to him, goodbye Charlie, you know, we had enough of you, and they left. Every parasha has it at least once, and the rule works. And that's the idea that when Parai originally sent Klal Yisrael, it was not meant to be that they're coming back. It was only later that Pari had second thoughts. He said, hey, you're supposed to come back after 3 days. But initially, he knew that they're going for good. So, the lesson then of mentioning Kriyas Yamsuf every time mentioning Tzias Mitzrayim is not to give credit where credit is not due. The Mitzrayim really deserve no credit. They have to be beat up 10 Makis, so they were a little more sympathetic to the Jewish people, but it wasn't... It wasn't an empathy.
So why was he punished? Because he was the, you know, he did it maybe too enthusiastically, or he was the agent. But really, this reinforces the idea that Paro shouldn't have been punished, because Hashem was using him to send a lesson.
The Rambam asks why Paro was punished. It was a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings to, there are two approaches. The Rambam and the Raivin, the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam says there are those who understand that God said somebody will do it, and you don't have to be the one. If God says someone's going to get killed, they're going to be murderers. But you don't be the murderer. No, it didn't have to be Pari. He just said a nation will be Meshabed. He didn't say Mitzrayim. Oh, so that's something else. V'yav Hashem Aslev Paroi is, at least the way, it doesn't say V'yav Hashem in the first three Makkas. After a while, it just balanced out. Notice, Paroi by himself was cruel to the Jewish people. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced him in one direction by bringing the Makkas. So there was a Kibbut Alev, a hardening of the heart, to equalize it. So that he went back to as if there were no Makkas. Because the Makkas were compelling reasons to send Klal Yisrael.
It means it gave the ability to withstand all that pressure.
To withstand the pressure. Okay, Fasol was saying. Okay. Be that as it may, the fact is that Pari was punished, and the questions are why, whatever the explanation is, the lesson of Kriyas Yamsuf is that after everything, the sympathy for the Jews doesn't last. Just lasts for a little bit, and then the hatred comes back. V'zeidim tibata v'yedidim havarta kana ben shoyel al ishtanas haseder. What's going on here? The order is out of order. What happened first? First the Jews passed through the Yamsuf, and then the Egyptians were drowned. Read it. Zeidim tibata, our enemies were drowned. V'yedidim havarta, and the Klal Yisrael went through. So he says, kana ben shoyel, every child asked this question. No, everybody asked this question. I mean, if you wonder why you read it every day, you don't ask the question on your own. You know, it's out of order. Kind of been shown to say that Shai Mekaidim Avrei Yedidim. Bochum Bnei Yisrael B'Sechayam B'Yabasha. Brak Acha Kach Tovu Azeidim. B'Yesh Leimer. L'Chayra Yitama Koraya. Every person will wonder, Ech Noyalu Sari Tzayan Likonis Atechayam. How foolish were they to go into the ocean, into the river, into the bank, into the dried area of the sea? b'saychai, yahazarai yam leisanai. They know the yam is going to return to its flow. Ela shekvari dienu chazal b'midrashim, chenisa b'piyute yamim akreinim shal Pesach. Now that's what the Yekis say, piyut, on the last day of Pesach. So they say, the Egyptians had no choice. The horses dragged them into the water, into the dried yam. Shem compares the Klal Yisrael to the horses. Well, which horses? The people on the horses wanted to turn around. Harbet Shaharei Arvo Lahem Asakano Ulayazru Amayim. They understood the danger. Vavim Lo Yaminu B'Maisi Nesho Yibaku Amayim. Even they didn't believe in miracles. V'Tirtzu Amura Bashpola Nadira Shomei Hayam B'Tziruf Ruach Sara Gedayla. And they attributed to a natural phenomena based on stormy winds. V'Komakam Lo Yoy Nevaru Midas. They were not so foolish. The wind will blow the other way. They'll be lost. Incredible thing that the horses pulled the Egyptians into the yam, even as they knew that it doesn't make sense. Harry. Now, it's not an unusual thing. There are many people who suffer, lo aleinu, from addictions. And it's like the person on the horse is leading him into disaster, and he's sitting on the horse, and there's a terror. The horse is going, and I can't stop him. There are people, many people who really need a lot of assistance to shake off addictions. As they walk towards their own destruction, they can't help themselves. It's an incredible psychological disease. People know that what they're doing is not good for them. And without professional help, it's very, very difficult. I've had many times where a mother of Nebuch who has a child that's addicted to whatever it might be, let it be only cigarettes, halavai. And she says to me, oh, I had a good talking with him last night. You ever heard a mother say, had a good talk with him. And he understands. So I tell her, he understands better than you. But it's just a disease. When people have physical diseases, everyone understands they need a doctor. When people have mental diseases, they also do. And it's very, very hard. So the Yetzirah is like this horse that drags people where they don't belong, that drags people where they know they shouldn't be. And, they turn over in bed even though they know that they have to get up.
You know, I'm surprised about, he mentions here the Ruach Kodim, the very strong winds that we say maybe they attributed to natural causes. What about the Amoresh that was originally between them before they went into the water?
We have an old rule. You can't ask a kasha on the Yetzirah. When the Yetzirah fools people, you can't ask a kasha. People ask kashas on themselves. How did I do such a foolish thing? It's a common thing. But when people get swept away, they get swept away. It's incredible that now, thousands of years later, I understand that Goyim say all of this never happened. But I don't understand that when they found natural gas in the Sinai in the 1980s, they found natural gas in the Sinai. Why do I remember? Because we used to have a subscription to the U.S. News and what's it called? Report. So there was a cover story that now they understand the snare. Maybe I saw a snare, nothing was burning. What happened? They understand there was a natural gas leak. So it caught fire, it looked like a snare, because you have a little leak, it's a snare. And now they understand the snare, the mystery of the burning bush revealed. It's not the silliest thing you could ever imagine. Like, if you don't believe in it, don't believe in it. But now, you know,
We can understand this. This was at that time. It was there were three weekly magazines, right? It was a Newsweek and Time, and this was the respected one. This was the one for intelligent people, and it was a cover story. Now the mystery of the burning bush is revealed. The Jews found natural gas at the time. You know, who set up the pipe that leaked? That they don't tell you, but who knows? Maybe God did it with natural gas. I don't know.
But they had to know that pillar of fire was a mess. There was no natural explanation for it. You know, God, for Moshe Rabbeinu raises his power. All of a sudden it appears just when they're going to get on.
And then they cover it.
I agree. I agree with everything. And even that this storm that splits the yam. Let's say it was a storm. It's like a once in a millennium occasion. And it happened just when the Jews arrived. So it's, the whole thing is a silly thing, but that's the Derech HaYetzer Hara. It turns you away, it distracts you, and we're all that way on little things, hopefully, but, you get distracted from things that don't make sense.
Maybe that was part of it, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened their hearts, so even though they understood that it was a mess, it's almost like they had no free will anymore, they just...
Could be. Anyway, back to the top of page Resh Pei Dalid. Dugma Suse Parish Shemashkul Balei and Balkorcheim Uritzayin Yirei of Yaseh. B'tzadik Gaizah Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Vayinam Yisrael Beisara. Havla Susasi Brichvei Pari Dimisichari Yasi. So we're saying that it's like Klal Yisrael pulls Hashem's rotzen towards Klal Yisrael by doing good things. So, l'susasi beruch ve'pare. What the horses did to pare, kaviyachol Jews could do to make good things happen. V'kan onu maskirin esanes hanifla hazeh, sh'ach hayam suf v'kata, v'nichu v'yisrael, o hazeh din tibata. So, v'akorcham oi term sh'ovdu ha'yedidim esayam. Sh'ovru yedidim esayam. So what does that mean? They went into the yam before the Jews passed through on one side. The Egyptians were going in on the other side. The reason Jews usually don't call people Yedidim, I mean Yedid is a friend, it's not a common word in Chumash. Yedid by Binyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem Mishkanava, but it's not a common word in Chazal. Why over here does it refer to the Jewish people as Yedidim? Avshalahaya kulam sadikim gemurim. For the reason is, they all follow Nachsha, and Lamdu Nachsha Meramin Adam, Misheva Binyamin. And only when the Jews put in their effort, the water split. It's an incredible thing. The way he's describing Kriyas Yamsuf, I wonder if everyone agrees with this. The way we picture it, all the drawings show the Yamsuf, the whole, however they're traveling, in a circle, a semicircle, but you see it all dry and they're traveling through. What he's saying is, as they traveled, in front of them it opened up and behind them it closed. See, and as they're walking through the Yam, when they passed part of the Yam, what was behind them became flooded with water, and the Egyptians were drowning as the Jews went through. He's a big kasha here. It says nobody remained. Not one remained. And we know that Pari did remain. I will let you stand. Pari's horse did not pull him into the yam. How can you say no one remained? But Tiritzu Shechad Mehem, Koyat Sarayim. on the Egyptians, no one remains. I have to share with the Malbim's answer, which I think is much more geschmack. The Malbim says that there are two words for leftovers in Hebrew. How do you say leftovers in Hebrew? Shirayim. Shirayim is leftovers. Noisar is also leftovers. What's the difference between Shirayim and Noisar, remember? Which one? Which one's which? Noisar is by mistake, without a purpose. Noisar is something that's left over by mistake, right? If you didn't eat your whole carbon, something remains called Noisar. What's Shirayim? Shirayim, when you take a kaimitz out of the mincha, what's left is called Shirayim. A planned leftover, that's Shirayim. Not planned, incidental, that's called Noisar. So, normally if there's a war, somebody remains. He's Noisar. I said, means without a plan, just in any war, one side wins, one side loses, someone escapes. Nobody was left over incidentally. But, it says in Chumash, Nishar ad echad. Shirayim was ad echad, there was one. Pari was left with a plan, with a purpose. And that's what they say about the Holocaust survivors, what they call them, Sheris HaPleita. They were Shirayim, they were left over with a purpose. They felt they have a purpose in surviving. It wasn't just incidental. Those who were incidental were lost. Those who felt a purpose, Shiria Plata, they saw themselves as purposeful survivors. They're the ones that were able to make it. There are other places I don't remember at the moment where. Voya Machne Hanishar Lafleta. Yaakov planned to divide them. Machne Hanishar, the one that's purposely left out. Yishar Achnoyach. Okay. Remain. So it's a geschmack and teretz. Okay, I guess we'll pick up from here on Thursday. Mitzvah Hashem, al zeh shivko ahuvim.